Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, fall weather is here already. Those leaves have turned pretty fast, I think. And already, stores are starting to run Halloween candy specials. Won't be too long before we have our Reformation party here in about a month, where we'll have an excuse for not only food, but dressing up in costumes as well. Kids and sometimes adults dress up during Halloween parties or Halloween itself at like superheroes, sports stars, actresses, fairies, and monsters and other things. Now, I imagine the odds are that most of us won't ever truly be one of those things, but it's fun to put on a costume and pretend every once in a while. But perhaps it's not only on Halloween that we put on a costume of sorts. Well, maybe we don't throw on a bunch of funny clothes, but sometimes we do put on an act for people around us. Take, for example, the class clown as one example. I think there's a difference between having a great sense of humor and always feeling like the pressure that you have to be the class clown. When someone feels like acting like they have to act like a clown all the time, they may feel like they can never say anything serious or ever act sad, but they always feel the pressure to be making people laugh. In many of our families, our friends, or our workplaces, we may feel at times as if we are expected to act only in one particular role. It might be the responsible one, or the yes or no man or woman, or the screw-up. It's, for Christians, I think, especially easy for us to try to take on the role of the perfect Christian, the one who always has the right attitude and never does or says or thinks anything wrong. But trying to live up to the expectations of others can be pretty exhausting. And also living up to other people's expectations means fighting a losing battle. Yet it's easy and more natural for us to stick with what we know and what people expect from us. Unfortunately, living our lives strictly defined by one role prevents us from creating healthy and positive relationships because we can never share or speak honestly about our needs or our weaknesses. If we're always pretending in front of others, in front of ourselves, in front of God, we not only stress ourselves out, but we become more and more isolated. After all, the fear is if we let someone too close, they might see through our costume. And while this sort of pretending has been going on forever, there's nothing new under the sun, the author of Ecclesiastes tells us, I think things like Facebook and Twitter and Instagram can, when misused, magnify the problem. Now, I know that all these websites and apps were probably created in the name of creativity and of expressing yourself, and they probably do encourage a lot of creativity, although sometimes I suspect that it encourages at least as much conforming as creativity. But it certainly makes it more tempting to try to impress others. Most of the time when people or put up pictures or messages, they try to put up only pictures or messages that they think present them in a positive light. Some of that's probably just healthy. We don't need to see pictures of everybody at every point of the day. But it can easily go the other way, too. We think, do I look sexy enough? Cool enough? Do I look funny or do I just look goofy? When people read my comment, what will they think? You see, we have the ability to carefully consider and tailor our message so that it gets the reaction we want. Do we want sympathy, or do we want to start an argument? Do we want people to think our life is happy or better than theirs? You see how that's not really, when we start thinking about those things, that's not really self-expression anymore. Instead, it's focused on primarily on what others think of me. We'll never make everyone happy, right? And the harder we try, the worse we make it. And so thinking of this, especially from a Christian perspective, I can't help but ask the question, are we, as Christians, at times, just putting on a mask to trick the world, our family, or our church? For instance, do we truly care about doing good, or do we just want others to think that we're good? Where do we find our identity and contentment? Is it in trying to impress or please other people, or is it in the comfort and the promises of Christ? God says that we don't have to try to seek the approval of this world. In fact, he's already proven to us through the death and resurrection of his Son that he loves us, that he does enjoy our company. He's interested in our creativity and who we are, not just a simple single role that we may sometimes play. He's the creator, after all. He loves creativity. The Father, he loves his children, and he has made us all different with different gifts and personality. As they say, God broke the mold when he made you. And we don't have to lie to God either. We don't have to put on a costume or a facade. Instead of hiding your problems or pretending that you've got it all together, instead you can confess your sins. And you can bring your burdens and lay them on the Lord. In fact, as a Christian church, if we're willing, there are also Christians with whom we can share our burdens and confess our sins to. You don't have to try to pretend to live out a fantasy life or find fulfillment somewhere else. God offers you fulfillment in being recreated and filled out with the love of Jesus Christ. That means that we don't have to find our identity in the roles that we play or the approval ratings that we get. Instead, your identity is as a forgiven and dearly loved child of God. Your identity is a follower of Jesus Christ, forgiven and striving to learn and grow in his teaching and example. And that's where our epistle lesson from Philippians picks up. Throughout the book of Philippians, Paul is addressing a congregation that seems to more or less get this. They have wholeheartedly supported Paul and been an encouragement to him. Knowing this, Paul encourages them to reflect Christ in their lives. He tells them, if you take even the tiniest bit of encouragement from Christ and the Holy Spirit, then take this attitude. Don't be selfish or obsessed with your own wants and desires. In fact, don't do anything out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility considers others more significant than yourselves. Don't just look out for what you want, but look to the interests of others. You see, I think what's maybe ironic is that although God has given us a new identity in Christ, he teaches us not to become obsessed with ourselves or self-absorbed, but rather to truly care and assist others. You see, if God loves me, then I don't have to make sure that everyone else likes me. If God forgives me, I don't have to be obsessed about impressing him. Instead, I can focus more on being like Jesus and less on how good or bad I've been. There's a world of difference between pretending to care about someone and actually caring about someone. And I think receiving the forgiveness and compassion of Christ allows us to do the latter. We sometimes put on an act. Instead of caring about what is good, we only care that we look good. Of course, I, like all of you, am certainly guilty of this at times. I imagine you are as well. I want other people to like me, and sometimes I let that influence what I do or say when it shouldn't. But on the other hand, I hope that, like me, you can say, as Paul puts it, I have found plenty of encouragement from being with Christ and from his word. And the compassion and grace of God is wonderful to see both in my life and in the life and in other people's lives. And so we try to care less about what other people think of us, and we instead focus on simply caring about other people. You see, the world tells us to push and tug to get our own way. Our own selfishness leads us to think that our way is always automatically the best way, and that what I want or like is more important than what others want. But Jesus doesn't tell us we should just try to get our own way whenever we can. Instead, he gives us the humbling example of serving others. After all, Jesus, as the Son of God, would have had every right to get his way and to have the way the things he wanted. But instead, he humbled himself, first by becoming a human being, and second, by willingly submitting to death on a cross. Having such a great example and having received the unconditional love that we have from him, we too are empowered by the Spirit of the living God to lay down our lives in service to others. May we as well reflect the love of Jesus Christ, revealed in the scriptures in both law and gospel and in relationships to the with others, to a world that needs nothing so much as it needs Jesus. In his name, amen. We continue by collecting our